So anyway, let me just talk with you tonight, if I don't bore you to death and put you to sleep. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. That's probably a foreign word to us today. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm going to say this because I feel like the Lord has just given me some permission. If you don't like these scriptures, then tear them out, but still the Word of God. Young men, likewise, and that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything each other does or says. That's not what that means at all. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The rest talks about servants, which I will not talk about right now. And so you can be seated. Thank you for standing. And I don't even have a title for this tonight, but I have felt for about a month I wanted to take some time on some of these topics. So let's go back and let's just very briefly talk about it, because Christianity in the church has become, and that doesn't mean this church, but it has become more about what I get than what I give. And whether we want to accept it or not, the church, you and I, have a great responsibility to bear. And that responsibility goes beyond outreach and cleaning and all of those things. It really begins to boil down to some of the most basic, fundamental things in life. Things that we have forgotten, things that have gotten lost. And they've gotten lost because there's been such a drastic shift in society that we don't recognize some of these things. And so the scripture begins by telling us to speak the things which become sound doctrine. Now, that's not talking about scripture. It's talking about stability. It's talking about fundamentals of life that are unchangeable, if you please. And we are instructed to speak those things, to talk about them, to highlight them, to remind one another. And it begins with speaking the aged men to be sober, to be grave, to be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So, in essence, the scripture is saying to the elders of the church that we are to be an example in all of our life, in everything that we do. And I'm not going to put an age on being an elder, because to many men, I am an elder. To me, many of you are an elder. Elder is not restricted by age, even though in one respect the scripture is referring to that. One translation calls them older men, but it is not just in age, and we understand that throughout the scripture. But it says, okay, men, aged men, elders, it says, I want you to be sober. That doesn't mean don't drink a lot of alcohol. Even that would definitely qualify. This is a very broad term that is to be applied in a very wide perspective, if you please. That means you cannot become intoxicated on anything. Intoxicated on life, intoxicated on the things of the world, and that we are to be grave and temperate, keeping your spirit in check and keeping your spirit from spiraling out of control, if you please, and leading by example in that manner, your patience, if you please. And then it tells them to be sound in faith. You can't be wavering. You cannot be up and down and all around, if you please. But you've got to have a solid foundation in your relationship with God, in charity, which is a form of love, and in impatience. Patience, patience. So the scripture, the instruction that is given is that this is the lifestyle that our elders are to live. And then it says, and also likewise for the aged women, that you be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now, I'm not going to try and do what needs to be done in a couple of verses. Oh, I feel like I'm going to preach my own. Okay, I'm just going to go. You mad at me for any reason tonight, Jerome? Okay, good, because I need you to give me some of that. Go on now. Come on, whatever things you say. You know what's happened to a lot of our older women in the world today? They're like children. They're trying to keep up with the 20-year-olds. They're trying to look like the 20-year-olds, act like the 20-year-olds, dress like the 20-year-olds. I'm not going to say this because it's not going to work. So I'm just not going to say it. I'm just going to say it ain't going to work, ladies. And here's why I say that. Do you understand that those 20-year-olds need your godly example? They need you to understand what it means to becometh holiness, not worldliness, not looking like the world, not trying to keep up with the world, but holiness. They're always listening, and never for the right reasons either. So, these instructions begin by reminding the elder men and the elder women that we have a duty, I wish I could preach, that we have a duty and a responsibility to our younger generation. They need us, and I understand that we live in a world now where most people don't respect anybody, not even their own selves, but I'm here to remind us tonight that we have a duty, and I'm beginning with the elders because it begins with you, to our younger generation. And we have a duty to set the example now more than ever, because most do not have examples at all to look to. And so they've got to look to men, older men, elders that are rooted and grounded in their relationship with God. They are faithful in all manner of life, whether it be in attendance, whether it be in prayer at the altar, whether it be in worship, to teach the next generation how we are to be. And then with these elder mothers, the same is true. Behavior as becometh holiness, not filthy talk, not trashy talk, not filthy living, not trying to keep up with the Joneses. We got to pinch ourselves and wake ourselves up and realize, oh, I wish I could preach. I just wish I could preach. I know nobody wants to get older. The fact is you are and you will. And everything's going to wrinkle and everything's going to sag. And you can't stop it no matter what you do or how much money you have. So in the meantime, you might as well be a godly example for the younger generation that's coming up behind you. They need it now more than ever. They need it now more than ever. Not false accusers. Can't go around gossiping. It's not biblical. Not given to much wine. I don't like these verses. And I'm going to tell you why I don't like them. If you come to me and you say, are you telling me I'm going to go to hell by drinking a glass of wine? I'm going to say, no, you dingbat. You're not going to go to hell if you drink a glass of wine. But I am going to say, but that glass of wine may, one, ruin your witness. Number two, it might lead you to other places you don't want to go. Because one sometimes does enough just to get you to take two. and then two leads to four. Now, I know everybody's got control of their own lives. I know I'm being sarcastic there. So I'm not saying, and that's why the scripture says not given to much wine. If you want to go home and enjoy your one glass of wine, you do it. But I'm just telling you, it can ruin your witness. Teachers of good things. You know what that means? Do you know what it means? That means to our elder women, you have to be teachers. Not a Sunday school teacher or not a teacher of this class or that class. Teach in your living. Teach in your life. Because this generation that's coming after you, most of them have no example to follow. Many of them do not have a mother to teach them or a father to teach them. And these responsibilities fall upon the church. Remember with the men, it said to be sober. We can't be all giddy, gotty, giddy up. Let's go. Let's party. Let's have fun. Hey, I believe you need to get away. You need to get a break. Go do what you got to do. Have a vacation and then get back to normal and understand that there is a world that needs examples to follow. That they may teach the young women to be sober. I'm going to say it. I don't care if you agree with me. You are wrong, and I'm not being funny. Once you're married and you have kids, you have no right going out to clubs, to bars, partying, acting like a little teenage fool. You have no right doing it, women or men. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I did things that children do. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. We are living in a partying generation. I'm not just talking about alcohol. And it is an intoxicating spirit. That's why the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and they were doing all this stuff. And that's the way it's going to be in the last days, just having fun, living life. And again, I'm not against fun at all, but I'm here to remind us tonight, to tell us that we have got responsibilities that the Lord has placed upon us, and we cannot forget those responsibilities. Teaching the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. God help you if you're out bad-mouthing your husband to another younger woman. Oh, feel the Holy Ghost. I try to tell women all the time, you want your husband to come around, maybe he's not being what you think he should be, and maybe he's not. You ain't going to do that by insulting him in front of everybody. It ain't going to work that way. It doesn't work like that. Men do not respond to insults, and you can say whatever you want. I'm just saying it doesn't work that way. One thing I can say about my wife is I don't ever remember my wife insulting me, especially publicly. And I honor her for that, and I would never do the same to her either. It's teaching them to love their husbands, to love their children. Wait a minute. Do you mean that people have to be taught to love their children? Yes, according to the scripture, absolutely. You know what loving your children is? Are you ready for the next one? You're not going to be ready for it. You're not even going to agree with me. You're not going to agree with me. You ladies are not called to have a career. And I didn't say you shouldn't, but you're not called to that. You are called to be a mother once you have children. See, that don't go over in this generation. Does not go over in this generation. I'm just telling you, that's not the... Read your Bible. Read the curse upon Adam and Eve. Now, if you don't like it, tear it out. You can crumble it up. Use it in your fireplace if you want. That's your business. And I'm not saying women shouldn't work. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that should not be a woman's priority. Her priority should be her children and her family. That is what the scripture says. That's all right. I'm a big boy. I can take it. If I can handle Jerome every day, I can promise you I can take it. Jerome knows I just pick on him because he lets me. I love him for it. It's always fun when you can make fun of uglier people. To be discreet. We're still on the aged women. To be discreet. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Now, what I'm not doing is, because I got to cover all my T's, dot all my I's, cross all my T's here, because it gets really tight when you get talking about this stuff. That's why they ignore these things in the Bible. We don't like some of the stuff we don't like, so we just don't read it. Now, if you have a Bible, well, if you don't, let me first problem. But if you have a Bible, could you tell me, does it read the same way as mine? Brad, where are you at? Where are my scriptures? Are you with us today? Can you put those on the screen? We are in Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Maybe I didn't give them to you. I don't know. Chapter 2, verse 5. To be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And that does not mean a servant to your husband. That doesn't mean he snaps his fingers and gets you a beer out of the fridge. Or hopefully your husband actually gets you a beer out of the fridge in the first place. But anyway, that's not what you do. It doesn't mean he says, woman, get his house clean. And you go, oh, yes, sir, I'll get the house clean. That's not what we're talking about here. Now, you know me, I can shift gears real fast and I can talk about the dingbat men that act like tyrants in their homes. I love getting on that subject. I love it. If you got to rule your house by fear, you are a dingbat. And you have no control over your home. You have no authority in your family. Listen to me. I'm going to say it. I'm pausing. Intermission. You don't call your wife names. You don't belittle your wife. You don't insult your wife either. Now, I already said it to the men, or to the ladies. I'm going to say it to the men. You don't call your wife names. You do not insult her. You don't belittle her. And you definitely don't raise a hand to her. Am I clear? I'm just making sure. I'm doing good, ladies. They're like, you are now. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When we are not living according to the scripture, it is a form of blasphemy to the word of God. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Young men, there's more to life than skinny jeans and fancy hairdos. And I do appreciate all of our... Kevin over there, he's like, I wish I knew what a fancy hairdo was. I know you're probably like, why did I come to church tonight? I appreciate our young men that give of themselves to the gospel, that they make themselves available, that they're not chasing the things of the world. I really, really appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. But young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. I want them to remember this. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. Not just what you did today, but a lifestyle, a pattern of good works. Am I okay? Am I boring you? You want me? Okay, move on. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Uncorruptness. That, whether that be in your life, in your actions, in your words. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That means not giving people a reason to come against us because of our conversations and our words. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. So those that live opposite of that life, that they'll be shamed because of your godly lifestyle. Showing uncorruptness. Oh, I already got to that part. Having no evil thing to say of you. Now the rest talks about servants, which I'm not going to get into right now. And so I want us to remember tonight that we are called to lead. We are called in every aspect of life to be example setters. It is a part of our walk with God. It's a part of our Christianity. We are called to be better. Now, we're not called to be perfect, but if you got too much pride to take your weaknesses before the Lord, then you've got a problem. If you've got too much pride to give up some things in life that you know deep down in your heart, and you don't know if you don't pray about it and ask God about it, but you know are a hindrance to you living the life that God requires you to live, then you've got a problem. But these simple, sober reminders remind the elder men and women and remind the young men exactly how we are to live, the type of life and the examples we are to set. It is not just, can you do this, but it is a responsibility. It's something that the Lord has passed down for thousands of years that we would never forget how we are supposed to live. 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to bounce around a little bit because a lot of this covers what widows truly are, what the scripture, how the scripture looks at widows, and so we're not going to get into the semantics of that part. But beginning in verse 1, it says, "Rebuke not an elder." If I wouldn't break it, I would drop the mic right now. How have we come to the place where we feel like we have a right to rebuke our elders? Have we come to the place where we feel like it's our right? It isn't your right. I couldn't remember the last time I rebuked one of my elders or one of my peers. A rebuke is harsh. It's called for at times. Sometimes it's necessary. But the scripture teaches us that it's not for the younger to rebuke the elder. And let me tell you something. Like I said, we're all an elder to somebody. If you are going to be... You know where all of this stuff is lost in the mix? When many people don't know who says or what people say about them. You miss that. There's a whole lot of reaping going on. If you're going to badmouth people and talk behind the scenes and you're going to rebuke people, I promise you there's tenfold of them doing the same to you, but you just don't hear about it. Because it's biblical. Rebuke, not an elder. Very simple, but a reminder that we don't have a right to rebuke our elders. Let God rebuke them. Let the ministry do it when it's necessary. We don't have a right. But entreat him as a father. Look to him. Look to him as a father. You know what that means? That means go to your elders and seek advice from them. Seek counsel from them. Don't be afraid. Don't go to your buddy that's the same age as you, that's in the same pubescent stage as you are. Don't go to your friends at school and ask them for counsel about life, because I got news for you. It don't matter how smart you think they are, they don't have a clue yet. And I'm not afraid to say it. You want to talk to those, you want counsel about life, go to those who have lived it. Go to those who have been through trial and heartache. Go to those who have fought to keep their marriages together and ask them questions about how to keep a relationship strong. Don't listen to those that were divorced 3 times and they're trying to tell you, if I were you, I'd just run from that thing. Of course they're going to tell you that, because they ain't never stuck to nothing in their life. But I'll tell you what you do. Hold on a second. You get mad at me if you want to. Truth hurts, I know. But I'm telling you, you want to do it right, then you look to those elders for guidance. Look to them for advice. The Bible says, entreat him as a father and the younger men as brothers. Now, you probably ain't figured this out yet, but you don't badmouth your brothers, at least you're not supposed to. That's what the scripture is really talking about. You don't insult them or betray them or run them into the ground. You treat them like a true brother. The elder women as mothers. Young ladies, I'm just going to take my time. It is your God-given responsibility to honor the elder mothers in your life, in your church. You should honor them. You should esteem them very highly. You should go out of your way to do something kind for them. You should go out of your way to honor them maybe on special days. Whatever is required, whatever is necessary, it's okay. It is okay, and it is appropriate, and it is biblical. I don't have any help here tonight. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, and that's where the next several verses talk a lot about widows. We're not going to get into that tonight. Verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house. Now, I want you to understand this. I want you to catch it. If any provide not for his own, that's not just talking about family. That's why the next verse says, but specifically those of his own house. Who are your own? The body. When you go back and you read all those verses talking about widows, you'll understand. Widows are our own. Those who are in need are our own. We have an obligation beyond our families, but specifically to our families. They provide. I'm going to talk. That doesn't just mean money. I know the world goes round by money and you're considered successful if you make a lot of money. But I got news for you. God will never look at you as successful just because you make a lot of money. You know what God looks at as success? When he looks at a man that provides emotionally, provides financially, provides with care, provides with love, with nourishment in any way he can. The moment we get married, are you ready for this? Where's my couples that are getting ready to get married? Where'd they go? They left. They're over there. Wrong place for them to be tonight. A couple of them are here. The moment you get married, you are saying that my life changes. I am now hers. You know what the Bible says that a man leaveth his mother and father and cleaveth only unto his wife? Because she now is your sole responsibility to take care of. Am I okay? Am I boring you? That means you nurture her. You care for her. You love her. You love her as Christ loved the church. She's your responsibility. You promised. You don't have an option in the manner. You ready? Hold on. Now, all you men, you better watch me. I'm going to walk right by and stand by if you're not paying attention. I promise you I am. You don't have a right to get mad and go outside and I'm leaving for the night. No, you're not. Sit your rear end down in your house and take care of your family. You're leaving for the night. This ain't grade school. This isn't you dating this young girl and you got mad at her. She said, I ain't talking to you for a week. You made a promise. You're not leaving nothing. You need to take care of what you promised to take care of. If any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, provide in every way possible. He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So the Bible says when you don't care for your own in the body and within the church, and when you read the rest, you'll find what it's talking about. And you know, specifically for those of your own house, you've denied the faith. Don't call yourself a Christian. Verse 17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Double honor. What does that mean? So let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now watch this. That's just not talking about ministry. That's talking about elders that rule their house well. Not rule, not lordship, not stand over, but have things in order. The spirit is in order. Our children are in order. Our relationship is in order. Let those elders that rule well be counted worthy of honor or of double honor. And then it says, especially those that labor in the gospel. So when we have things in order, it is biblical that we give double honor to them. Now, I don't know what that means to you. You can figure that out and take it between you and the Lord. But it certainly doesn't mean critique, criticize, talk about, badmouth, speak ill of, lie about, complain about, grumble about, gripe about. That's not what it means. The Bible says when elders rule well, they are worthy of double honor. Quiet. I must be boring you. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. Did you hear what Brother Jonas said about his wife? Shut your mouth. Don't bring it to me. Do not receive an accusation against an elder. I don't care if it's right. Well, what if it's right? Doesn't matter if it's right. Not your business. The Bible says do not receive that accusation. Do not receive it. You don't let anybody speak ill of them. Do not. But before two or three witnesses. So the reason we don't do things in secret. You ever have somebody? I know I'm probably boring you with this because it's not talking about Holy Ghost hopping and all that stuff. You ever have someone come to you and say, I'm going to tell you something, but you cannot repeat it. Trouble. I mean, why can't I talk about it? Why are you telling me if I can't talk about it? Do you know why? Gossip. And you don't want anybody to hear about it because, number one, you might be made out to be a liar or a gossiper, whatever you want to call it, or just somebody that's spreading discord. But you want to get your word out. Not biblical. It says if you're going to do it, if there's an accusation, you do it before two or three witnesses. That way, it's not done in secret, and it's done in a manner that is structured appropriately, and it's not just gossip. I know this bores us. But these are some basic fundamentals of Christian living that are vital to our walk with God. So many things could be stopped. So many things could be averted if we did things truly the way the Scripture teaches us to do them. It goes on in verse 21, says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. That means, I'm not done yet, but I'm almost. That means you just can't take something that you're partial to, something that you feel passionate about. I could preach now if I had a few minutes. We're all gung-ho and we're passionate about it. We're all on board if we're passionate about it. But by God, don't let it be about me. Don't talk about me. Don't get upset at me. Don't say something about me. Don't get angry at me. But you're allowed to get angry at other people. You're allowed to talk about them. You're allowed to speak about somebody in secret. You follow what I'm saying? What I'm telling you is God sees everything. And if we want to please God, it's some of these most basic things about honoring each other, about remembering that we are responsible to teach the younger generation in our living, in our lifestyle. It goes beyond the things we say at the pulpit. And I've told these young men, if you're going to walk up here, you better be living it out there. And you better be right with God out there. And I better not hear things about you and sending text messages that are vulgar or foul or whatever else they might be. Or I better not hear about you asking girls for favors or things like that. If you don't think that stuff goes on, you don't know what's going on. If you're going to be up here, you are to be an example. And you need to lead by example. And the first example is your life, your living. If you're going to be in leadership, men, then the first thing that needs to happen is you better have a good reputation about how you treat your wife. And let me just, I'm just going to cruise into a stop. I watched a video today. If you ever want to scare yourself to death, I don't get scared. Watch the Flight Channel. They'll tell you all these. They do a remake of all these plane crashes and problems and from beginning to end. It's digitally recreated. It's really fascinating. You learn a lot by it. I watched this one today about a plane. The engine had blown over on takeoff, and they didn't. The plane was not equipped with they couldn't dump fuel. So as soon as he got in the air, he had to just circle for about 3 hours, 4 hours, to burn off fuel before he could land. The reason I told you that is we're above the airport, but I'm gonna circle for a couple minutes. Burn off a little fuel. I think it's important sometimes to take a pause from church and remind ourselves what church really is. I think it's important sometimes to take a pause from running the aisles, and I love it, and take a pause from screaming your guts out trying to get people out of their tombs, and to remind ourselves some of the most basic fundamental things that we can so easily forget. I'm not just called to come to church and pay my tithes, but I am called to live a godly example. As men, as elders, I am called to be an example to the younger men. And as elder women, I am called to be an example to the younger women. And guess what, ladies? Some of you, in your mind, you ain't really got there yet, but I got news for you. You are there. And when you reach, can you come play for me? Because that'll really help me. When you reach that place, I'll be 50 this year. And I know I'm not a dinosaur, but I'm getting there. But listen, serving on the board now, the very board that about 15 years ago, I had to go before, and I had to face an admonishment because they felt like I had a pride issue because I wouldn't ask for help. It's just kind of weird, you know? Now I sit there, and all of these younger ministers, they come in with their wives for licensing, and we ask them questions and maybe try to expound to them a little bit and help prepare them for the future. Or you have ministers come in that have problems, and you have to deal with them in secret and try to keep them on the straight and narrow. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, my God, I'm one of them now. And it's an honor. Nothing shy of that. But it's a reminder of where I am in my life. We don't really grow up in our minds. That's why you got too many adults who are acting like little children. I mean, come on, man. If you're older than 20, you probably shouldn't be wearing skinny jeans, all right? It's like, especially if you got a nice belly going on like half of us do. It just don't make it up. It don't work. Wear something a little better, a little more fitting, you know. You don't want to wear figure-flattering stuff when you get our age. Because there's no flattering of the figure. God. I mean, ladies, I don't know. I mean, if I had a daughter, and I don't, I got a bunch of these girls I just kind of keep as my own. But, you know, you probably shouldn't be, well, you shouldn't wear like spandex period in public, in my opinion. But if you're probably over 25, you probably shouldn't do that. Especially if you're 45, 55, 65. I mean, if you're going to wear a long shirt to cover it, okay, maybe. I'm wading deep in right now. Deep. I'm in the no-go zone. It's truth. Listen to me. We got to stop trying to keep up with the younger generation and start leading them. We got to stop trying to keep up with those coming behind us. I know we all struggle getting older. But do you know, with age comes respect. People look at you and they look to you. And when they come to us, they can't be receiving an empty basket from us. They've got to receive a basket that has been filled over the years with little bits of wisdom and knowledge. And we pass that on to them because we want now to prepare them as they continue to move forward in their journey in serving God. I can tell you, and I hope this doesn't come out wrong, and I'm being honest, one of my number one driving factors for keeping my home in order, keeping my marriage together, is everybody around me, from my kids on up. I want people to see that your marriage can still work 25 or 35 or 45 or 55 years later. I want them to see that everybody isn't quitting. even though half of the world does it, everybody isn't throwing in the towel. There are those that still hold strong and firm, even when you don't want to. I listened to a lady. I sent a bunch of the younger couples this video this week. Lady was married 59, I think, years. I don't know what it was. And her husband just passed away a couple months early. And she said, I just want to tell you the key. She said, no matter how bad it may have gotten, no matter how much we fought, she said, we always kissed each other goodnight. Don't let those things drive those wedges, because Satan, okay, we just got clearance to land now. Satan purposely wants to destroy every example that this younger generation needs. He wants to pick every home apart. He wants to cause the elder men and women to live back somewhere in some warp zone way back 30 years ago when you're not. Because he does not want us rising to the occasion and living so others have good, sound examples to follow. Sure, I'd like to be a little more cool sometimes. I wear these same black pants every single Wednesday night. I only have one pair. It's all I need. They're black. You wouldn't know if I didn't say anything. I'm not trying to keep up. I'm not out looking. Hawk, these shoes are old. They're getting worn. I used to not like them because they're a little big and bulky. They cost me like $30. I still like them. I'd like to go out and find some better, nice, more in-style shoes or whatever, but I ain't got time for it. You know why I ain't got time for it? And I'm not saying you shouldn't take time for that stuff. I'm just saying, men, it's time we stop trying to keep up with the younger generation. It's time we start leading them. Done. Men, it's time we stop looking at other women and you worry about leading your own home and your own household. And I'm not saying that every men here are. Ladies, it's time we stop trying to look like the 20-year-olds. And we start becoming the mothers of the church. And many of you already are. Every generation has a role and a responsibility to carry. And now more than ever, the world needs. My wife asked me when I am I okay just for a couple more minutes? We're coming down. She asked me when I told her they elected me presbyter. She said, and you declined? And she wasn't joking. I said, no. I'm going to tell you why I didn't decline it. Not because I feel like a big dog, because I don't. I told the man, I'm Paul. I'm the least amongst all of you. I'm just going to serve my section the best I can. That's all I'm going to do. Because I told her 2 years ago, I said, I feel like God is transitioning my ministry. I said, into being more of a support or a leader for other ministers. I told her that. I had a pastor call me last week, asked me if I'd be his bishop. I didn't even give him an answer yet, because I'm not going to do it unless I feel like God wants me to do it. What am I saying to you? I'm saying I know where I'm at in life. I'm not going to try and, Paul, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not younger anymore. I'm not 20. I'm not 30. I'm not even 40. And I'm forgetting all that, and I'm going to press forward. And what's ahead of me? I'm going to do everything I can to affect the people around me and the generation behind me that I can before God takes me out of this earth. I've made it a goal somewhere around the 17th, 16th. I don't know. I'm meeting with all these younger couples that are getting married, the ones that just got married. And I'm meeting with them. And we're just going to talk about it. You know why? Because we didn't really have anybody that poured into us and tried to prepare us for marriage. And we did a lot of stupid things and said a lot of stupid things and gave a lot of dumb advice as newly or newer married couples. And I don't want to leave these guys handicapped. I want to leave whatever I can. I want to leave to them. And you know what that means? That'll mean taking one of my evenings. And that'll mean we're going to bring them to our house. We'll invade our house and we'll put some refreshments out. But you know what? I want them to be ready as I can help them to be. Do you have all the answers? I don't. Not at all. All I have is what little nuggets I've picked up over time. And I'm going to pass them on. I'm not going to my grave with them. I'm going to do whatever I can to have a good effect on them. We've landed. We're slowing down. I'm asking you to look ahead. I'm asking you to stop looking back. Stop regretting the years that have passed. Stop wishing you look like them. Stop trying to look like them. Stop trying to be hip, men. If you're 30, 31, 32, 34, 35, you're not hip, whether you like it or not. You're not. You might want, you're not. Stop cutting your hair like you're 19. You're not. Be who you are, because you are who God made you for this hour, for this moment in time. God has planted you and He has prepared you, and He's trying to prepare a generation that will always be that rock, be that stability, be that strength, share that wisdom for the next generation. If you give up, you throw in the towel on your marriage, you won't like this answer, and I'm sorry if you don't. But in my opinion, you don't have a right to do any type of marriage counseling or talk to anybody about their marriage. None. You know when you have a right? When you explain to them how I came through, how I held on. Now, I know there are extenuating circumstances. I understand all that. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about people that get tired of it, and they just quit. Or they get tired of her, they get tired of him, and they just quit. But I want you to remember that you have a testimony that will save somebody's marriage someday if you let that testimony continue and what God is doing to use it. Am I okay? Man, I know I said a couple tough things. So here's where I got to try and close it down. We've landed. We'll taxi. When you leave here tonight, I want you to remember this one thing. People are looking for leaders. They're looking for examples. That's why we run to the polls every year. And people get let down year after year after year after year. Because you cannot take a hireling and trust their leadership. You'll get a few good ones, but they're far and few between. Because money begins to rule position power. That's why a pastor can never be a hireling, can never be held hostage by the offering or the tithing. Never. Because he's got to do what God calls him to. So what I'm saying is, start looking ahead. Examine yourself. And say to yourself, ladies, who am I mothering in the church? Men, who am I fathering? Be that for somebody. Understand your role and realize the importance of it now more than ever. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be who God's called you to be. Stand with me. I want to pray together if we can. I don't feel like I've done this justice. I wish I had another hour. Some of you are like, God, no. Not another hour. I love Bishop Nichols, and I'm thankful for him in my life. And I know that God has timed our relationship. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Pasley changed me as a person. I watched the way he would love people. I watched the way he nurtured people. I never told him I watched it, but I watched it. And to this day, I can still hear his voice as he'd walk up to somebody with such gentleness and such care in his voice and talk to them. And inside of me, I would say, that's who I want to be. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be the critic. I don't want to be the loud mouth. I don't want to be the angry man. I want to be the people. I want to be the one that people feel comfortable around, that they feel good around. And my God, give me room for a bad day, because Lord knows I have a couple of them. But aside from those, I want to be the person that is a rarity in our world today. Sometimes that means getting tough. Sometimes that means nurturing. It's whatever the moment calls for. So I want you to pray with me. And I want you to pray that God will teach you. I don't want, even if you think you have it, start all over right now. And pray that God will teach you how to be that person, how to fulfill that role, to look at those scriptures that we read tonight and say, I want to do what God has commissioned me to do, what He's called me to do. I don't want to forget. I don't want to get lost in the mix. But that's who I want to be. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, forgive me if I've not done any justice to this simple message tonight. But I feel Your presence in this place right now. I feel Your confirmation, God. I feel Your heartbeat. And I know that You want us, God, to be that person for all those around us. I know that You want the elder men to continue to lead with dignity, to continue to lead with their prayer life, with honor and integrity. And I know You want the elder women to be mothers to the younger women, to be what many of them may have never had. And I know You want the young men, God, to lead with honor and with purity, with patience with each other, the same patience, God, that somebody showed me. And I know that You want us to care for our widows. And I know You want us to care for the body. And I know You want us to rule our families well. And I know that You want us, God, to provide spiritually, provide emotionally. God, it's a balance that I've found is so hard to obtain. But I know, God, that You'll use my sincerity and my faithfulness, and You'll let fruit come from my efforts. And I pray that every person here tonight, God, would begin to feel that fruit because of their decisions and the fruit, God, of their labor. And I pray, God, that we will step into our moment in time and we will be who You've called us and need us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, would you lift your hands and would you just call upon the Lord right now in any way that you feel like you need to? Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Praises rise on the inside.
I just told somebody today, I was talking about one of our men, and I said, I've noticed they're trying to be more nurturing to their wife. I see it. Other people see it. That's who we need to be. We need to be providers emotionally, spiritually, as a body, as men, as women, as elders, as younger. We need, as for our wives, for our husbands, we need to be providers. When we do, people will see it. And honor then will come. We don't deserve to be honored just because of who we are. We deserve to be honored because of the life that we live and the example that we set. Keep doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, tonight.
Yes. to be lifted on high is all I want. It's for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted, yes, cause all I want. It's for you.
I'm not saying this because of anything or anybody now, but I want to say it. Elders, these young men here, every once in a while, need to feel your hand on their shoulders at the altar. That's not a criticism. I'm telling you it's a need. It's a need. They need to feel your hands on their shoulders. They need to feel your love. They need to feel your wisdom. They need to hear your prayers upon them. It's so important. Elder mothers, there are young women up here that need to feel your hands on their shoulder. It's not always even good enough for me to pray for them, but they need to feel your hands on their shoulder sometimes. They need to feel your hands on their forehead as you pray for them, as long as your life is, of course, where it needs to be. But I cannot stress to you how important those things are right now. Would you just lift your hands and pray with me one more time? God, help us to see it. Help us, God, to see it. Help us, God, to feel it. Help us, God, to understand it, I pray. Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let them see it, God. Let them receive it, I pray, into their heart now.
Thank you. Yes, we worship the name. Oh, set a fire. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. We worship your name. Cause all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. It's all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Is all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Is all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Is all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Is all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Oh, fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart till
just praise your holy name tonight, Lord. God, I ask that you would just be with us this evening, Lord, as we dismiss in your name. God, that we would just take the word that was brought forth tonight, Lord, where we would apply it to our lives, Lord Jesus. With your help, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.